This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Las Vegas, Nevada. We're broadcasting live from the auditorium at the Desert Research Institute on the campus of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. In a few minutes, we'll be talking with the mayor of Las Vegas, Oscar Goodman, about the future of this city. But first, here are some of the headlines from NPR News, stories we're following today. A development from Capitol Hill just now, the fight over John Bolton's nomination to be the next U.S. ambassador to the United Nations is headed to the full Senate for an up or down vote. A sharply divided Senate Foreign Relations Committee voted to send Bolton's nomination to the floor, but took the rare move of not actively recommending him. Democrats say they will continue to oppose the confirmation. NPR will continue to cover this story as it develops. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says he's prepared a plan to close some military bases, a plan he says will save nearly $50 billion over coming decades. You can hear details on these stories and, of course, much more later today on All Things Considered from NPR News. Tomorrow it's Science Friday, and Ira Flato will be here with a look at the state of science in the United Kingdom, where the British have pushed ahead in developing renewable energy and stem cell research. We're here in Las Vegas talking about the design and development of the increasingly sophisticated casino experience, an area of technology where we may still predominate. With me on the panel are Brad Friedmutter, an architect and CEO of the Friedmutter Group, Jan Jones, Senior Vice President of Communications at Harrah's Casino Hotels, Robert Boehm, Director of the Energy Research Center at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and Bo Bernhard, Director of Gaming Research, Gambling Research, I should say, at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. And just before the break, the question was, can small hotels still compete in the world of the Wynn Las Vegases?
That's a legitimate question. Certainly the entry fee has gone up substantially over the years. And one wonders, as Wynn Las Vegas certainly demonstrates that you can spend $3 billion on these sorts of places, whether the new places that will be going up across the street will have to spend that kind of money to compete. What's interesting about this most recent period of expansion is that it's targeted the high end, the expansions at the Venetian, at the Mandalay, at Bellagio. They're all going after what is presumably a finite population, which is the upper-end consumer. One wonders if there'll be anything left for the sort of middle-class American here.
Well, Brad Friedmutter, let me ask you about this. Who do you see as your competition? Are you the next step, or are you saying, well, that's what Wynn does, we're going to do that?
Well, there's no question that if the Wynn property is financially successful, which I'm sure it will be, that raises the bar for the Strip. For example, at Red Rock Station, we're creating a different kind of experience off-strip that's located off of 215 near Summerlin. That property is going to cater to people that live in Las Vegas as well as tourists that visit Las Vegas. That type of design is going to be a crisp, clean, desert contemporary look. It's not a strip property. There will be entertainment. There will be a host of restaurants. Very large casino and a number of rooms. There's also daylight. And that project is breaking a lot of the molds, and I think it's going to be well anticipated at the beginning of next year.
But is the days of the theme resort, or the theme mega resort, if you will, is that over?
I think the notion of the theme, you have to define theme. I think the cartoon theme, the miniaturization of real things and kind of tongue-in-cheek, I think for now that's over. You know, I never want to say never in Las Vegas because everything gets reinvented. But I don't think you're going to see something as Spartan or cold as minimalist type of design. People still come here. They want to be entertained. They want to be comfortable. You have to stimulate as many of the senses as you can.
So Bauhaus, not in our house.
Maybe in a small area.
Local historian Michael Green once said this about Las Vegas in the 1930s. If the Hoover Dam is the steak, then legalized gambling, and six-week divorces are the steak sauce. Well, maybe the same could be said of the city of Las Vegas and its mayor. As the locals try to polish up the city's image, Mayor Oscar Goodman's candid comments never fail to spice things up. Unlike the usual politician, he feels no compulsion to keep his fondness for a glass of gin or the fact that he's a former defense attorney to several organized crime figures a secret from anybody. As Las Vegas reflects on a century of its colorful past, we've invited its equally colorful mayor to ponder the city's next 100 years. Mayor Goodman, thanks for joining us on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you very much. I consider that a compliment.
All right. Is it true that to some degree you could be credited with the designation of 1905 as the city's centennial year?
Yes, I wanted to be sure that the centennial would be taking place while I'm the mayor. And, you know, there's some discussion that's taking place that 1911 should be the appropriate time for a centennial because that's when Las Vegas was incorporated as a city. But I don't know whether I'm going to be the mayor in 2011, so I said, let's pick another date. We had the auction of certain lots in our downtown, which was the beginning of Las Vegas as we know it today, which took place on May the 15th of 1905, and we're going to be celebrating our birthday this weekend.
Do you think you could be the mayor of any other city in America?
Absolutely not. There's a very little tolerance throughout America for somebody like myself. But in Las Vegas, they understand what I'm all about. I tell it the way it is, and I think that the people appreciate that. There are very few honest politicians.
Let's talk about the future of this city. All kidding aside, you've got some real problems here. You've got tremendous growth to contain.
I don't consider that a problem, though. I think that growth is good. I think that without growth, you stagnate. And I want to continue the growth as far as the city of Las Vegas is concerned. It's a different kind of growth than we've experienced in the past. In the past, we went out, and our natural boundaries are such that you're limited as to how far out you could go. But there's nothing to limit us from going up. And that's why I'm talking about the Manhattanization process of Las Vegas.
And not just the New York casino. I mean, you're talking about the whole city.
The whole ball of wax, right. And we see it happening. When I was elected 6 years ago, very little was happening in the downtown. I was concerned because of the 48 out of 50 states having gambling. The Indian reservations, I thought, were a real threat. The downtown that I knew when I got here with my wife in 1964 was a gleaming, glistening downtown. And through the years, it matured and became a challenge. And I felt that it's like the core of an apple. You know, when the core of an apple begins to rot, then the apple rots and the bushel, and it has a reverberating effect, and it would take it all the way out to the strip. It would take it up to the area where the Red Rock is going to be built. And I made my mind up that we would have to revitalize and have a renaissance in the downtown. And everybody laughed at me. They said I was nuts, which, you know, truth is the defense. But there may have been a little bit of truth to the fact that I was talking about things that people weren't ready to accept. And now they bought into it, and the downtown has come back. We have a furniture mart that's second to none in the world that's in its infancy. We're talking about a world-class academic medical center going down there, a performing arts center. We're the largest city in North America that does not have one. We have the funding for it now. We got a wonderful endowment, $50 million from the Reynolds Foundation, talking to Major League Baseball on a daily basis, talking to the NBA about having the NBA All-Star game here, and I'm a betting man. I'd say I'm going to win that bet. It's great being the mayor of Las Vegas.
Let's get a question from the audience here in Las Vegas, one of your constituents, I suspect.
Indeed. My name is Brett Bicoy, and I'm with the Nevada Community Foundation. One of the things that we've seen is that the same population growth that is supporting our economic development is in many ways overwhelming our civic and social service institutions. I'd like to hear a little bit about how gaming operations see themselves and are in some examples of them being good corporate citizens here in our community.
Okay. Bo, why don't you start that? You study these things.
Yeah, these are legitimate questions. Certainly, as Las Vegas grows, so too does its need for support of groups like the Nevada Community Foundation. In fact, I co-authored a study last year sponsored by a grant that the Nevada Community Foundation put together looking at the needs of the overall community. And one of the conclusions we came to was that giving as a concept is like a lot of things in Las Vegas, sort of relatively young. I think, like a lot of things in Las Vegas, we're getting better at it than we used to. But as Oscar just pointed out, certainly we're seeing different trends that suggest that the future might be bright.
And it's a pretty generous community, actually, when you have a problem. When we had our flood, for instance, we reached out to the community. I reached out to Celine Dion. She did a PSA. The MGM folks came forward. They gave us a lot of money to take care of folks who really needed some immediate help, which we could not get because we didn't qualify under the FEMA conditions back in D.C. On a case-by-case basis, they're great. I think where we have to find ourselves is with a different kind of mentality like they have on the East Coast or in Los Angeles, a big city mentality where philanthropy is something that is recognized as being part of a community. And you want to see your name on the side of a building like the Frank Rogers building here. That's important to people. In other cities, we haven't reached that point here yet.
Thanks very much for the question. Let's go to a caller, and this is James. James calling from Portland, Oregon.
My question is in regards to the natural resource problem. You know, water is a dwindling substance there in the dry. How do you guys plan on handling the population explosion with regards to the water?
Mayor, good.
Yeah, it's pretty extraordinary. We started a conservation program here a couple years ago, the Water Authority did, and with the influx of folks, 8,000 people coming in on a net basis each month, even with that taking place, we've used less water this past year with the growth of population, which is extraordinary because people are educated now in Las Vegas. They recognize that we live in a desert, and they have to behave as you must when you're living in a desert. Everyone gets angry at me when I say that we drink what we flush here, but there's a lot of truth to that. The indoor use of water is circulated. We get credits, and we don't lose any water as a result of that. Where you lose water is with the watering of the lawns, not being careful of your sprinklers, and that kind of thing, because it's evaporation, it's loss. That's what we have to take care of ourselves. We've been very careful about making deals with California and Arizona for water storage, for trade-offs, and buying water. So we're in good shape as far as water is concerned. I'm not worried about water. That's one of the reasons that we have the Manhattanization, because when you go up, not everybody has a lawn. Not everybody has a pool. You have a little lawn around your high-rise. You've got a pool on top of your high-rise. And as I say, we don't worry about what happens. Well, we do worry about what happens in Las Vegas because it stays in Las Vegas.
James, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you.
We're talking today about the future of the casino industry and the future of Las Vegas. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And I wanted to get an email question in. This from QR. What is the current mafia involvement and influence, and how do you know? Mayor Goodman, you should have a pretty good idea.
Well, if there was such a thing as the mafia, I would probably know about it because it's been said, as a matter of lore, that I represented them. There is no mafia presence in Las Vegas. There's no organized crime presence in Las Vegas as we sit here today in the traditional way of looking at organized crime where somebody's last name ended with a vowel. Now the organized crime are these punks, pardon the expression, folks, who come up with the gangs from L.A., and they want to make their presence felt here. That's the kind of organized crime we have, but it's a different type of concept than that which was thought of in the old days as to the founding fathers of the many of these casinos.
Bo Bernhardt, is that a rosy picture?
I don't think so. I think one of the misunderstood and perhaps underestimated important chapters in Las Vegas' history was when we, in fact, for lack of a better term, cleaned up. And our legal structures, our gaming regulatory structures are, in fact, the envy of the world over now that the rest of the world is embracing gaming. And they, in fact, did a good job of this during the period that Oscar's speaking about.
Let's get a question from the audience here in Las Vegas.
Yes, I'm Jeff Burbank. Mayor Goodman, why does Las Vegas consistently rank so high in so many social problems, such as lung cancer, teen pregnancy, high school dropouts, et cetera?
Well, we'll go through one at a time. Lung cancer, because a lot of people smoke here. It's a kind of community that has a lot of pressure attached to it. The employees who work in the casinos are under an awful lot of pressure all the time, and they tend to smoke perhaps more than folks elsewhere. And what was the secondary? Teen pregnancy?
Teen pregnancy.
I know nothing about that. Third?
High school dropouts.
High school dropouts. Well, high school dropouts, that's a serious issue because there are jobs that are in our community here, ministerial-type jobs, and I'm not putting them down, where you can be a car valet, a car park, who makes himself $50,000, $60,000 a year. These kids drop out of school at 16. I think it's shameful. I think that there should be something done about it. I wish I had jurisdiction over it because I would do something about it, but I believe that the casinos should step up if they're providing the opportunity for youngsters to drop out of school and make a good living. They should give them rewards because that's what youngsters look for, incentives to get their high school degree, get a GED, go to community college, and give them monetary rewards as they make themselves into a more valued members of the community. But until that takes place, the dollar is king.
Let's get another caller on the line, and this is Catherine. Catherine's with us from Denver, Colorado.
Hi, I've got a question for the mayor. I'm wondering what kind of safeguards the city is is doing, because it seems like Las Vegas is a real terrorist target. Some of the counter-terrorist people, like Richard Clark from Washington, D.C., have said that Las Vegas has definitely been scoped out by terrorists, and given that the airport is so close to the Strip, and the fact that my son is going to be a student at UNLV this fall, I'm wondering what you're doing about terrorism.
Okay, well, sleep soundly, okay, because your son is not going to be the object of any terrorist activity here. I think we're the safest city probably in the world, in the sense that each one of our casinos has their own individual police force, in effect, with the security guards that they have there. They're constantly being trained. They know what to look for. I feel that Las Vegas is as safe as any place, if not safer. I have never heard, and this is my oath on this, I have never heard one piece of credible evidence which would substantiate the fact that Las Vegas is a target. We get a lot of chatter because Las Vegas is on everybody's mind.
It's Sin City.
Well, it's a great city.
At the Atlantic Monthly article that Richard Clark had in maybe 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was on Talk of the Nation to talk about it, yeah.
Explicitly talked about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's wrong. This is safe. I get briefed all the time. I'm not getting presidential briefings as far as Homeland Security is concerned, but we have our Homeland Security operations in the area here. If there's the slightest indication that there's any issue whatsoever, we're brought together. We've got operations centers, command posts, and we haven't heard any credible evidence whatsoever that Las Vegas is targeted. It's that simple. And if he says something to the contrary, he doesn't have his facts right.
Catherine, we wish your son good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for the phone call. And I think that's all the time we have for today, and we'd like to thank all of our guests. Bo Bernhardt, Director of Gambling Research at UNLV and co-author of an article called Maverick to Mafia to MBA. Jan Jones, a former mayor of Las Vegas, was with us earlier. She's now Senior Vice President of Communications at Harrah's. Brad Friedmutter, who is an architect and founder and CEO of the Friedmutter Group, designing the next big casino hotel resort to open in this area. Dr. Robert Boehm, Distinguished Professor of Mechanical Engineering and Director of the Energy Research Center at the Howard R. Hughes College of Engineering at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. 2 hours in Vegas, that's the first mention of Howard Hughes. And Mayor Oscar Goodman, thank you very much for being with us today. We'd also like to thank staff of Nevada Public Radio, including Jack Chappell and Florence Rogers, the staff of the Desert Research Institute, Steve Wells and Ron Kalb, and the Las Vegas Centennial Committee, and Deputy City Manager Betsy Fretwell, and happy 100th birthday. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Kelly.